Morning, you're right. I hope you are. Me, yeah, I'm spiffing. Thank F it's Friday. TFI Friday, TGI Friday. Thank heavens. I hope you're looking forward to the weekend ahead. It has just ticked 8 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Friday the 27th of March in the year of our Lord 2026. As ever, I'm joined by my producer, none other than Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
And you guys, you know, the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers, the best among us. If you tuned in live, 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Amazing, brilliant, brilliant. I don't really get to see the chat whilst we're live. But sometimes, just for a quick few minutes, just before 8 a.m., I do see it sometimes. See someone asking if I've got tea or coffee in here. Tea? Come on. Don't take coffee, I drink tea, my dear. I'm an Englishman, come on. No, it's tea. Always tea. Love a cup of tea, me. Oh, try and make it just before I come on air so it stays warm for as long as humanly possible. Don't mind coffee. But if there's a tea option, I'm taking the tea. All right, should we just jump straight into it without any further ado? Right, what's the corporate mainstream media banging on about this morning? They're telling us that Trump extends Hormuz deadline by a further 10 days. Again, not that the war's over or anything. Just that he won't bomb all of Iran's power stations for another 10 days. To try and get them to open the Straits of Hormuz. And 1 hour of screen a day. That's just in reference to that the government thinks that under fives should only have 1 hour of screen time a day on a tablet or a phone or whatever. All right, let's get into it. The Guardian. Oh, they do it again. Straight off the bat with The Guardian. Oh, bad taste in my mouth. Got to wash it out with some lovely tea. Guardian. Oh, it was the Mobos yesterday, for anyone who doesn't know. Music of Black Origin, that's what that stands for, isn't it? A music award ceremony just for black people. Really inclusive. Yeah. Nothing racist about that, fundamentally. Just black people. Imagine if it was the other way around. I know that's a lame thing to do. Imagine the other way around, that cliche, but we're going to have white music awards. No brown people allowed. Imagine that. Okay, the Mobos, though. Perfectly fine. This guy, I want to give that R&B rock star energy, says Leon Thomas. Don't know who that is. Don't care. Looks like a retard. Right. Trump extends Hormuz deadline, claiming Iran talks going very well. Going very well. They're still sort of saying we're not in talks. But we discussed yesterday, didn't we? We had a look at how possibly in Iran that the political leadership can't be seen to be doing talks with the US or Israel for political reasons, or because the actual individuals involved might get killed by their own security services. So there might be a reason why Iran's saying there aren't even any talks. No, that's not even happening. But Trump says there is, and there sort of must be on some level. We've got indications, data points here or there saying, suggesting that there must be. So, okay. Trump says they're going very well. You know, Iran will come out and say, you're negotiating with yourself. That's nonsense, bro. But, all right. He's extended his window for another 10 days before he claims he'll start blowing up their power stations. Which would probably cause real, like, terrible suffering and misery among the Iranian people. Like, more than they're already suffering, of course. US president says threat to attack power plants paused for 10 more days. Okay, all right. So it's not like the war's over. It's not like he's pausing all war efforts for 10 days. No, they're still launching all sorts of stuff all over the place, just not at power stations. For example, it seems that they killed the head of the Iranian Navy just, what, in the last 24 hours, at some point in the last 24 hours, he got. So there's still loads going on. And of course, Israel, within reason, doing whatever they want. I mean, earlier, was it right at the beginning of the week or last weekend? Neti had bombed some Iranian oil fields. And Trump said, don't do that. And they said, all right, I won't do it anymore then. But at some point, Neti will start doing exactly as he pleases, I would have thought. Okay. Bank boss loses job over £470 million savings scandal. That's the NSNI bank that I believe is controlled by the government or the Treasury in large part, to some large degree, if not entirely. So part of the story coming out is that the Treasury knew about this scandal for a while. It's only just now in the news, but it happened. The actual original events happened a while ago, like a year ago or something. The Treasury knew about it and just kept stum, just kept mum about it for ages, because it's just an embarrassment. And they'd already, the boss of NSNI, they'd already said, you're not getting a bonus this year, bro. But now it's broken in the mainstream media. It's on front pages and things. They've now pushed him out. He's now fired. Oh, well. I mean, that is what happens when you're at the top, when you're the chief executive or something, or you're the owner of something. It's almost certainly not his fault, right? Personally, I mean. Probably. He's just out playing golf, having lunches with other extremely important people. Someone else somewhere dropped the ball, but nonetheless, the buck stops with you, right, when you're at the top of something. The ultimate responsibility for everything that happens under you just ultimately rests with you, so... All right, I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep out of the boss of NSNI getting fired. Okay, the Times, the venerable Times. Mandelson not asked for messages from personal phone. I suggested earlier in the week that the investigation into Mandy and Andy and various other people connected to the Epstein affair might not be as thorough as normal investigations into normal people. Yeah. Like, they'll follow up every single lead tenaciously, find out exactly what's going on, the real truth, the real unvarnished truth, and everyone that was involved in it. No, come on, of course not. Gonna ask Ehud Barak to testify? The way the US are asking Andy to come over to the United States to testify, we're gonna ask Ehud Barak. We're gonna ask, is the fifth Baron Rothschild gonna be asked any questions? I'm not seeing George Osborne's name mentioned very much here. At all, in fact. No, they didn't even ask for Mandelson's phone. He had two phones, probably got more than two, but he at least had two phones, his work phone and his personal Percy, his own phone, his real own phone. So when he was fired from his job, you have to give your work phone back. You can imagine, that will make sense, and that happened, fine. Then even though the police investigation has been going on for quite a while now, he was arrested, wasn't he? Taken into questioning, it was just before this war started, so about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, he was brought in for questioning, spent a whole day in an interview room, quite a few hours. Didn't ask for his phone. And there's also a Cabinet Office investigation, isn't there? A number 10 investigation, an internal government investigation separate to the police. They haven't asked for it. Nope. And with the Morgan McSweeney phone theft, I think, Morgan McSweeney's phone's gone now. We can still get the other half of the conversation, or still get the whole conversation from the other side, i.e. Mandy's phone. I haven't asked for it. Looks like they might do now. They might do now. It's enough time to sort of wipe stuff though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you really can. Wouldn't, if it's WhatsApp, let's say it's WhatsApp, Telegram, WhatsApp, whatever it is. Facebook Messenger, I don't know, whatever it is. Don't these companies keep it backed up somewhere? I don't know. I'm a bit technically inept, really, myself. Don't ask me these questions, but you would have thought that the police or the Cabinet Office would have asked for Mandy's personal phone at some point for full transparency, to do an investigation. But no. And remember his advisory company, his sort of lobbying company Mandy had, and all their servers or all their email backup, like over 1 million messages over a decade were there. They were lost, just disappeared. When the police turned up and asked for that, they were like, it's gone. And it's gone. A million messages or emails over 10 years or so from that. Gone. Oops. Then the police or the Cabinet Office can just go, oh, well, it's gone then. That's it. That's it. End of story. Won't look into that. Who's responsible for that? Or the ramifications of how that happened? Oh, yeah. The Epstein thing. It goes so deep, doesn't it? So deep. It's a bit more than frustrating, isn't it? Okay, Trump gives Iranians 10 more days to open strait. Hegseth claims Tehran could strike London. Hey, dude. You're not buying it. I mean, technically they could, I think. Technically. Before I go any further with that. Technically, their longest range missile, if it was maxed out, completely maxed out, and the warhead on top of it was tiny, didn't weigh very much at all, because that's the heavier the warhead is, the shorter range it is. If it was the absolute maximum range, I believe it could, but it's not happening. We're not scared. It's not likely. It's extremely unlikely. Out of everything Tehran would want to spend those missiles on, because they'll be expensive and they haven't got a vast arsenal of them, they're not going to be firing it at London, are they? Come on. Oh, but Hegseth gets a call from Bibi. Tell them they could hit London. Say that. Yeah, all right, mate. All right, Pete. Warning of diesel shortage by mid-April. I mean, probably not. Probably not. I mean, I might be wrong about that, but I sort of doubt it. Sort of doubt the Metro. The Metro. It's the last time I'll have to look at this for a few days. It's the one saving grace. Petulant Prez tells UK... calls UK ships playthings. Yeah, he did. Trump throws our toys out of pram. Yeah, yesterday again. I mean, to call him petulant in this case, in this context, isn't too far from the mark. Again, yesterday he was asked, somehow it came up, and he reiterated that thing about he had asked for, right at the beginning of this thing, he had asked for the UK to send both their aircraft carriers to the Gulf region, and Starmer had said no, really. And Trump again said, oh, we don't need them anyway then, and they're only toys, they're toy things. They're tiny little silly throwaway toys compared to our aircraft carriers. Yeah, a bit, yeah, no, fair enough, all right. The Gerald R. Ford class of aircraft carrier is gigantic. There's the Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier, the first one of that class. But there's a whole class of carriers called that. Because America's got loads. I can't remember how many they've got. 15, 20 carriers? And there's like 8 or 10 at sea at any given moment. Something like that. It's something in that ballpark. And yeah, compared to what we've got, our little carriers, because our ones, there's a picture of one of them there. It's got, you might be able just about to see, there's like a little slope there at the end of the runway, because the runway itself is so short. Well, there's various reasons for that slope, but in other words, if you put one of our aircraft carriers, or is it the Prince of Wales and the Queen Elizabeth, are they? If you put our aircraft carrier next to their biggest aircraft carrier. It's tiny. It's like half the size of it or something. Yeah, in comparison, it's like a toy. Okay, fair enough. We haven't got an insanely big budget. We're not a continent-sized country with a global empire and endless natural resources. So, yeah, we haven't got a giant carrier fleet, and the carriers we have got aren't as big as yours. All right, mate. Don't ask them then if you don't want them. If you think they're just toy things, you don't need them anyway. What'd you ask for them in the first place then, bro? Cheeky bastard. By the way, I am pro-US, essentially. I'm much more on board with Trump than with the Dems. But still, come on. Just as a Brit, just as an Englishman. He's a bit petulant from him, I think. Keeps calling Keir Starmer no Churchill, yes. I mean, that's funny, he's right, he's not wrong, is he? Alright. I mean, the Donald's no Roosevelt, is he? But would you want to be? A lot of Americans don't like Roosevelt. Certainly right-leaning Americans, they're probably right too. Won't go down that route. It's not a history show. Well, not entirely. All right, the Financial Times. Well, look, Iran mourns, Tehran's Navy chief killed. Yeah. Energy shock to hurt UK growth most among G20 economies. Yeah, there's a fair bit in the news today about the UK economy being hit by a sort of a triple shock of, you know, energy hikes, inflation. Also, inflation jump, steepest behind the US, setback for Starmer's agenda, and the Bank of England faces dilemma on rates. Okay, the iPaper, should we read the blurb on the iPaper? UK faces triple shock of inflation, weak growth and energy crunch. Global economists downgrade UK growth to just 0.7%. That's not bad. Over the last year or more, it's been like 0.2%, 0.3%, one quarter, I think it was 0.1%. So to have it reduced to 0.7, for us, actually isn't all that bad. Still not good though, is it? It's like barely growing, really. Barely. Pretty much flat, pretty much stagnant. 0.7 in 2026, and warn of recession risk. Yeah, if you measure it a slightly different way, we are in recession. That's like that 0.7, or sometimes you hear like 0.2, 0.1, whatever. That's with like the most rosy possible tint on it. That's like, that's giving you numbers that are the best possible thing not to say that we are, in fact, already in a recession. Feels like we're in a recession. Okay, inflation forecast rises to 4%, double Bank of England's target, and would be second highest in G7. Yeah, they wanted to get it down to 2%, and it looks like they were getting close, or did get close to it, and now it's going to go up to 4%, which is, I've talked about inflation a number of times, haven't I? It's still really bad. So we've had really high inflation for a long time. Mr. Biden's inflation was up to 7 or over 7 at some point for a while, a year or two back. So to still have inflation at all is bad. Be nice to see a little bit of deflation, wouldn't it? Not in wages. For the prices to come down on anything. So even inflation at 2%, it's like, so the amount all the prices have been hiked over the last few years, it's still ticking up from there, just much more slowly. Great, great. So 4%, just everything's going to keep getting more expensive. And now slightly quicker than they thought it was going to. No question of things going down in price again. No question of that. But the government's committed to cost of living crisis. Maybe cut the welfare and NHS bill by deporting millions of people. Maybe that. No, can't do that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. Don't be racist. Just accept hundreds of thousands of people more a year, net. Or a million people a year. Just accept that. And not building any more houses. And endless NHS and housing bills. They're mismanaging the whole thing insanely, aren't they? Okay. Reeves faces £10 billion headache on finances, even if America's war with Iran ends next month and energy damage in the Gulf is fixed quickly. Yeah. The repercussions of this thing will last a long time. Well, it will echo through history, won't it? One way or another. Impact likely to be felt on unemployment, wage growth, fuel prices, and home energy costs. Great. The oil price this morning, by the way, if you're interested. Or like an hour ago. An hour and 20 minutes ago, roughly. What, Brent? Brent crude was at like 109. West Texas was at like 92 or something, 93. So there you go. Still not astronomically higher. That is higher. When the war started, it was at like, I think Brent was at like $78, $79 when the war started. So there you go, put it in some perspective. It is higher than it was, of course. But still not astronomically higher, I would still say. There's no way to deny it's not higher, but West Texas at $92, $93. It's not insane. All right. I labour that point, don't I? Perhaps a bit too much, nearly every day. Okay, it will keep going higher, though, I would have thought. What else have we got? Trump mocks the US, quote, toy, quote, Navy. It's a bit, compared to theirs. I mean, it is a bit. I'm not denying that. And number 10, offer to eventually send ships. And Trump said, I said, don't bother. All right, we won't then. That's the thing, I'm not... Any Americans out there, don't get too butthurt with my takes on this. But just see from an English point of view, British point of view, that someone demands something of you, just in normal life, just in human interaction between two people, someone walks up to you and demands something from you, and you say, well, no. And they're like, oh, we didn't need it anyway. You get lost, you're nothing anyway. It's like, oh, all right, could you be more insulting? The two interactions you just had with me there were both really insulting. Okay. Israel says it has killed Iran naval commander responsible for blockading the Strait of Hormuz. All right. And the Iranians upset by that, their naval commander. The Independent. Trump's pens, like Pauline's pens. Trump's pens. He did an analogy with pens. Don't worry about it. Britain's economy is the worst hit by Trump's Iran war. All right, okay, we get it. Okay, the Mail trying to pretend it's slop when it is just complete slop. Look at this. Look at this. After 40 years blissful, after 40 blissful years, my husband had a stroke. So I divorced him. Oh, nice. Nice. Quite often in the papers, sometimes, quite often, most days, I don't bother reading it out because it's just complete slop, but most days they're like, there's something like that, particularly more on the tabloids. Like, wives, leave your husbands, one way or another. Wives, make sure your husband isn't cheating. Meanwhile, you can cheat, or something. Or if you want to cheat, this is how to get away with it. Loads of things like this. Women, don't put up with your husband if he's not everything you want in life, sort of thing. Various forms of that all the time. All the time. It's weird, isn't it? Really weird. Really subversive. Like they're trying to destroy the families. Well, it's not like they're trying to destroy families, is it? It is that. Trying to undermine the very concept of having a nice... healthy family unit in any way. Well, look, you married your husband for 40 years. He now needs you more than ever. Nah, divorce him, walk away. Try and get a toy boy instead. Could that be any more disgusting, really? Okay. Thanks, the Mail. Thanks for that Daily Mail group. utter slop. Look at this scumbag. This is a doctor, or was a doctor on the NHS, who just openly had loads of support for Hamas. Oh, great. Again, chill out. I'm not pro-Israeli. I'm not pro-Benjamin Netanyahu's government. I'm not pro-Hamas. Though, right? Doctor, pro-Hamas. Yeah, look at it. State of it. What a mug. All right, I think she's been struck off or fired. Rama Aladwan. Yeah, good one. Why can't we train our own doctors? Aren't there enough indigenous, native, white, young people that want to become doctors? Nah, got to import them from the Middle East or the Third World or whatever. Do we? Do we? Okay, headline is, with typical sanctimony, our tax-hungry Chancellor accused fuel giants of cashing in on soaring pump prices, but truth is, Reeves is the real petrol profiteer. Say the Daily Mail. All right, it's Rachel Thieves. Maybe I'll be right as well. Rachel Thieves, Rachel from account, the weird, know-nothing Karen, who's handpicked to be the Chancellor of the Exchequer of all things. Someone who'd be underqualified to manage a suburban Asda is the Chancellor of the Exchequer. She's gouging people at the petrol pump. Okay, The Mirror. Paul McCartney's coming out with a new album. He's 83. I've got nothing against Paul McCartney. Among the greatest singer-songwriters of all time. But you're 83, dude. How many millions do you need? I mean, have a rest. Have a rest, I'd say. Is that out of order? Harry, do a second poll. Is Bo's take on Paul McCartney should just give it a rest? Is that take out of order? No, you don't have to, really. You don't have to. Well, you can do it if you want. I'll leave it up to you. But, I mean, I never understand people that are multi-millionaires, world famous. Their legacy is cast in stone. And they're still working. At 83, really? Guess he's addicted to it. Guess he can't stop, maybe. Anyway. I mean, will it be any good? Oh, right, okay. We'll move on. We'll move on from Sir Paul. New official guidance, 1 hour of screen a day for kids, little toddlers, babies, under fives. It's not law, it's just advice from the government. Yeah, cheers, government. I think I'll live my life and raise our kids how we want. Parents of under fives told to cut back on TV and tech to aid development. I mean, they may actually be right, in all seriousness. Probably it's best not to let a small child, like most of what it sees is a screen. Okay. All right, but I just don't think it's the government's place to tell people, really. A doctor, maybe, but a panel of experts who've come to some sort of august conclusion about it. But just the government just says that now. You know, you could probably learn a lot. If all your life now, this is the way now, because it wasn't the way when I was a kid in the 80s. There was no touch screens, there was no tablets, there was no computers at all. Well, there were, but you get a few minutes a week, maybe, at school on an old BBC computer. Most young people don't even know what a BBC is. There just wasn't that many screens. You had your TV screen in your living room at home. That was it. There's no other screens. There's no phones. No phones. No phones, no mobile phones at all, let alone touchscreen ones. All right, so I grew up in a world where that just did not exist. But kids these days, little kids, that will be their whole life, won't it? It'll be their whole life. So why not let quite young children get used to it? But I suppose, still, I do see the argument for very small children. I do see the argument, I'm not crazy, that very small children, you get square eyes. Again, younger people, that's the thing. Younger people probably never heard that. When I was a kid, if you watched too much TV, older people would say, you'll get square eyes watching too much TV. making myself sound and look very old here, aren't I? Very, very old. All right. The Sun. Sheen's a traitor. It'll be Michael Sheen, won't it? Obviously, they're talking about there's a show traitor, but I think he is also a traitor, actually. Because he's so woke. All his opinions are insanely woke. So that's a funny double meaning to me. He is a traitor. Great actor. I think he's a superb actor, isn't he? A really good, undeniably brilliant actor. His personal politics are mental, like Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro, brilliant actor. No one would deny it. Brilliant. His own politics are insane, insufferable and insane. Okay, Michael Sheen's the same as that. Exclusive call to parents. Limit screen time for under fires. Warned PM. 1 hour is your lot, tots. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I don't know. I think little kids could definitely have too much screen time. I think that's certainly possible. If you just sit your kid down all day, every day with a screen, that's probably unhealthy. Depends what's on the screen, though, doesn't it? If it's things that helping their mind grow. That's the thing, what I always said, I always thought, even when I was young, don't watch too much TV. Well, what if I'm watching David Attenborough documentaries all the time? What if I'm watching, like, the Open University? What if I'm watching educational stuff that is building my general knowledge and making me a better person? Why is it bad then? Same with the screen for little kids. If everything they're doing on there is helping their mind grow, helping them learn. All right. If it doesn't actually hurt their eyes and what they're watching is good and helpful, helping them learn numbers or whatever, helping them learn the alphabet and things. Don't see a problem with it. They could have too much screen time, couldn't they? All right, I'm going on about this a bit too much. Who cares, really? Well, parents do care, of course. All right, there's that disgusting fifth columnist. Shouldn't really be in the country, I wouldn't have thought. NHS doctor charged with backing Hamas. McSweeney phone claims don't add up, says Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian woman that's somehow the leader of the opposition. Yeah, she's right, though, it doesn't add up. NSNI and boss fired amid cover-up claims. Oh, yeah, not that just there was a mistake made, but also that they tried to cover it up. Okay, yeah. Okay. Treasury knew about savings scandal last year and had already cut back bank's chief's bonus. Get it out. Okay. Trump delays obliteration of Iran's power plants for 10 more days. All right. The Express, it's a good paper. That actress they seem obsessed with now. Okay. Labour's bad choices causing lost jobs. Yeah, that's leftist economic theory for you. Yeah. Yeah, it tanks economies and loses jobs. Giving free rein will end in complete implosion and disaster and famine. Yeah, that's leftist economic theory for you. Lewis Hamilton dressed up as some nonsense with a sword. There you go. Danger of fake footy kit. Danger. Again, we're talking about the England football kit. It doesn't matter, does it? All right, that's the papers. That's the papers. Should we have a look at our poll? What did we say in our poll today? Harry, could you bring that up for us? It's there. Okay. All right, we asked you guys... pardon me. Will the US Marine Corps storm Karg Island? Not whether you want it to, but just do you think they will? What did we get? 42% of you said yes. 23% of you said no. And 36% of you said maybe. So yeah, when there's a big chunk of maybe, over a third of you said maybe, that says it all, doesn't it? It's like, don't know. So today's poll was one where we're not just teeing you up for a slam dunk. It's like this thing hangs in the balance. What do you think? I think the 36% maybe says it all. Who knows? It does look like they're gearing up for something like that, doesn't it? But Well, let's have a look at the websites. And, in fact, instead of just starting with the BBC like I do every day, there was an interesting thing on the Mail, which I thought... Oh, yeah, straight away, there you go. Let's talk about this. Off the back of our... Off the back of our... thing there, our poll. I thought this was an interesting story. Or an interesting bit of opinion. A bloody hellfire of missiles, rockets and drones unleashed by fanatical defenders. Mark Almond... Not the Mark Almond, like the singer. Someone else, a journalist called Mark Almond, warns of the trap that could await thousands of US troops invading Iranian oil hub. That is that Karg Island. If anyone's only listening to this, there's a map, a picture of it, an aerial view of it, and the Mail saying various things about what could happen, and the headline says, "Can Trump seize Forbidden Island?" I thought we could just talk about this a bit, because it sort of piqued my interest. And they talk about how the US strike force is thought to include 3,000 paratroopers from the 82nd Airborne, 2,200-odd Marines aboard the USS Tripoli, and 3,000 backup Marines aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln, plus air power, right? The US controlled the skies, basically. And backed up by Israel, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia. And that the Americans may well storm this island. It's not a very big island. It's like half the size of Manhattan. It's not that big at all. It talks about how US Marines from the 31st Marine Expeditionary Force... Expeditionary Unit, as well as the 82nd Airborne, yeah. And how the forces, the Marines and the paratroopers, will move quickly inland to secure sort of strong points, choke points, tactical, the tactics, the actual battlefield tactics of it a bit. I find all that interesting. Could they do it? I would have thought so, yeah. Because that's one thing that the United States can and do well. Dominating a battle space. Yeah? For anyone out there that is super anti-US, take it on board. Right? They might not be, the US might not be the greatest at diplomacy and winning the peace and the hearts of minds and fighting insurgency guerrilla warfare over many, many years. It's almost impossible for anyone to do anyway, but just a set-piece battle, they will dominate it, probably very easily. If I was garrisoned on... If I was an Iranian soldier, one way or another, garrisoned on Karg Island, I would be extremely worried right now. Extremely, extremely worried. Because when the US Marine Corps go in, or the 82nd Airborne go in, they're not messing about. They're not looking to sort of particularly take you prisoner. They're looking to eliminate you. They're looking to dominate the battlefield. Which means hopefully you, as an Iranian soldier, is killed long before you even see them. And, what, you think the Americans haven't got experience of something exactly like this? Oh, it's been a while since they've done it. No, all the officer corps will be at West Point, will be trained in the history of things like this. What, amphibious assaults? The Americans doing amphibious assaults? Oh, yeah. Not only do they do dominating a battle space very well, but this type done very, very well. I mean, going back to the war. During the war, World War II. We look at Sicily, Italy, Normandy. Right? The war in the Pacific. The Americans taking islands exactly like this. Loads. Loads. People know of Okinawa and Iwo Jima. I mean, Okinawa's a big island. But Iwo Jima's a tiny... Iwo Jima's tiny, really. But loads. It was like... What? Tarawa? Tarawa? There's like the Marshall Islands, the Gilbert Islands, the Mariana Islands, endless islands in the Philippines. What, like Saipan, Guam, Tinian, Peleliu, just Peleliu. Just that, just Peleliu. The other week, a few weeks ago, a month or two ago, I was read a long account, Assault into Hell, by a famous Marine, Eugene Sledge. The Sledgehammer, his account of the assault on Peleliu. One most people never even heard of, right? Unless you spent a fair amount of time researching and reading about the war in the Pacific, most people have never heard of Peleliu. But yet, just that one little thing. Footnote, almost. Footnote in history. Insane, insane combat and fighting going on there. And yeah, at West Point, the officers, this will... They will know it inside out, all the mistakes that were made. The modern US Army, armed forces, I would have thought would be able to take that island relatively easily. Especially since they've got almost complete air superiority. Right, so... The idea that you talk about it's like an Iranian trap. Doubt it. Even if they try and make it a trap. The Marine Corps and the 82nd Airborne and whoever else they send in. Imagine there'll be loads of other special forces. Right? SEAL teams, Rangers, whatever. Whatever, loads. America's got pretty much an insane armed forces. They're insane. They can do... There's so much. There's so much they've got. If they wanted to. All right, I thought that was talking about worth talking about for a few minutes, because it may well happen. I think it may well happen. So, again, a little bit of history repeating, not exactly repeating, but rhyming or echoes of the past. The U.S. Marine Corps storming a tiny little island. That's happened before. Okay. All right. Well, it's nearly 2:15, so should we have a quick look at some of the other headlines? What else have we got? Did we have something? I thought we had something in the Express. Oh, yeah. Just Eat among five firms facing probe in faker misleading reviews. I mean, that's the least of the problems to do with Just Eat. Just employing illegals. Just Eat and Deliveroo, I would close down in both Britain. I'd get a bit authoritarian about it. I would weather the slings and arrows from the likes of The Guardian and The Metro and The Mail. He's acting as a dictator. He thinks his king is just unilaterally shut down Just Eat. Yeah. Yeah. And Deliveroo. Yeah. Sue me. You probably would. You would try. Yeah. Sue the Home Office then. We'll change the law so you can't sue us in some way. Yeah, disgusting. They just, for anyone who's foreign, there's these companies that employ illegal foreign people to ride their silly little bikes, their silly little electric bikes, to deliver fat and lazy people their food. And it's a blight on our society. It's disgusting. It's absolutely revolting. Okay, this is the measure of the sun for you. The sun this morning, this is the top story. Just a terrible, look, never heard of, who's ever heard of this before, this poor person before? Goodbye, Noelia, it says. Paralysed gang rape victim, Noelia Castillo Ramos, 25, dies by euthanasia after mum's final goodbye. Oh, that's the top story. Oh, thanks for bringing me that. Thanks for piercing my consciousness with that. The sun. That's like world news. That's important. Next thing up. One guy punched another guy in the street. Killed him. That happens, doesn't it? one punch can kill someone. If you knock someone out on their feet and they're like unconscious before they even hit the ground, you've properly knocked them out and they're unconscious before they hit the ground and their head just hits the ground, and that's enough pressure to some sort of terrible skull injury and they die. That happens a fair bit. Like, street fights can be deadly, even if you didn't even mean to. One drunk guy went up to another guy in the street, threw a punch, dead. Right, but it's not, and terrible as that is, of course, terrible, tragedy, that's not really, like, national news, is it? Well, it's not national news. But that's what the Sun offers up, that's what the Sun gives us. Thanks for that. Having a little pop at the Donald. Some guy stole a cat. This delivery geezer just steals that cat. That's news. That's news. Put that in at number 3. There's something about cruises. Jimmy Savile had a little house out in rural Scotland and now it's finally been demolished. I mean, it's just pure slop, isn't it? Just absolute pure slop. Let's move on. Let's do this day in history. I like doing that. You guys seem to like that. On this day in history, down through the centuries, what happened of note? March the 27th. All right, on this day in 1513, Spaniard Juan Ponce de Leon and his expedition first sight Florida. So there you go, that's really early on, isn't it? I mean, Columbus sails the ocean blue in 1492. So you would have thought, maybe, that mainland United States was quote-unquote discovered by Europeans earlier than 1513. Some people think that Columbus discovered America. Well, no, in the first instance, he went to the Caribbean, wasn't it? It wasn't till Juan de Leon in 1513. But it's still early on, isn't it? It's still relatively early on, 1513. He's one of the very, very early... Would you call him a conquistador? Probably not technically, but anyway. Interesting, very, very interesting. If you go into that corner of history beyond Christopher Columbus himself, you'll very, very soon discover the person of Juan de Leon. And, an interesting, very, very interesting life, as they all are. I shall have to do content on all that sort of stuff soon. I've been threatening to do conquistador stuff for quite a while. Okay, on this day in 1625, Charles I, Charles Stuart, King of England, Scotland and Ireland, ascends the English throne. There you go. He was the one who, of course, ultimately got his head chopped off by Oliver Cromwell. Not personally by Oliver Cromwell, but by the Parliamentarians and the Puritans. He lost the Civil War. The Man of Blood, they called him. That he waged war on his own people, they said. Sort of did. Sort of felt like he was forced to. In the end, tried to raise a Catholic army from Ireland to fight Protestant Englishmen. Oliver Cromwell didn't like that. You've got to go, bro. We didn't want to cut your head off. We tried everything we could not to, really. But you wouldn't stop. And then we only needed you to sign a bit of paper. And we wouldn't, but you wouldn't do that either. So you've got to go. That was Oliver Cromwell's calculation anyway, ultimately. On this day, pardon me, in 1794, the Naval Act of 1794 is signed by President George Washington, authorising the building of 6 frigates and establishing a permanent US Navy. So there's all sorts of, in the age of Washington and long after, there was all sorts of debates and political debates about whether the United States should have a permanent standing army and navy or not. People like Alexander Hamilton insisted that they should, need to. Someone like Thomas Jefferson, not so much. But George Washington, General George Washington, who's a general first and foremost, decided that we really need a navy. There's no way we can protect ourselves from Britain and France without a permanent navy of some description. Probably not wrong, was he? You know. In the first few decades of the United States, at various points, they look like they may go to war with both France and Britain at different times. Well, in the end, War of 1812, we did go to war with, Britain did go back to war with the United States, didn't it? All right. On this day in 1914, first successful non-direct blood transfusion is performed by Dr. Albert Husting in Brussels. Again, fairly important moment in the history of medicine. Because once you can do blood transfusions, there's lots of things you can do to help people. Lots. Okay, on this day in 1958, Nikita Khrushchev becomes Soviet Premier as well as First Secretary of the Communist Party. That's interesting. Khrushchev is a very, very, very interesting person. Very, very, a fascinating person. I went through a bit of a Khrushchev kick probably about 10 years ago. Decided I wanted to know everything about Khrushchev. But notice that date though, 1958. Stalin died in what, 1952? Or was it 53? I think it was 1953. And what, Khrushchev doesn't become the leader until 58? It's like, wait, what? I thought it went Stalin, Khrushchev. No, there was a whole period there. Well, 5 odd years more after Stalin died, where the whole Soviet edifice is like, what are we doing now? What's going on? It's like, Melnikov was the nominal leader for during that time, mainly, I think. Well, it was. But they had to deal with... They had to deal with all the old Soviet sort of state apparatus of terror and things. And Khrushchev negotiates that masterfully. The life of Khrushchev is incredible because he was a peasant. Truly a peasant, growing up as a child and a young man. And worked his way up to become, like, effectively the head of the Moscow Soviet, wasn't it? Like, a bit like mayor of Moscow, a bit. More than that, but anyway. Then just about gets into Stalin's inner sanctum. Again, walking a tightrope the whole time. The whole time. Survives all of that. And then the chaos after Stalin. He emerges as the leader. But like years later, a few years later. And the story of how he finally did away with the last of Stalin's henchmen in order to clear the path for himself. And Melnikov and everything. Remarkable. Remarkable thing. Remarkable thing, Khrushchev. There's that film. I need to rewatch it, actually. It was quite funny. There's a comedy film, The Death of Stalin. And they have Khrushchev played by Steve Buscemi. Of all people. He does it really well. It's really good. It's funny. My first thought wouldn't be to cast Steve Buscemi as Khrushchev. Anyway, it works. It's a funny film. Somehow make a comedy out of the death of Stalin. But they did it. Anyway. All right. We'll move on. If you're interested in 20th century history, post-war, post-World War II history, Khrushchev. If you're interested in the Cold War, check out Khrushchev. Watch a documentary or two. Okay, the Tenerife Air disaster on this day in 1977. 583 people die in aviation's worst ever disaster when two Boeing 747s collide at Tenerife Airport in Spain. Yeah, I had a book as a kid just called Disasters. Just a kid's book. There's only like 30 pages. And each page was a double page spread of different disasters throughout history. Right? One of them was this. So I remember reading about this when I was a little kid. And yeah, it was terrible. Two planes, one was trying to take off going at speed. Somehow they had a head-on collision. It was just a complete breakdown in communications, complete error. Two planes full of people, completely destroyed. Yeah, mad. Tenerife. Yeah, well, it says there, the worst disaster in aviation history. All right, there we go. Oh, that was a bit of a bum note to end on a Friday morning, isn't it? But, all right, let's have a look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats. All right, what have we got here? Let's have a look at the Rumble Rants. Real Dan Eck says, I wish the mainstream media would report on the poor girl who was gang raped by North Africans. Well, I think that was the one on The Sun. But you obviously sent that in early. So timestamp. Yeah, you sent that in at 8:10. They did. The Sun did report it. You say this is what happens when the West abandons Christianity. Lord have mercy on us all. Yeah, I mean, The Sun did report it, but, I mean, the sentiment isn't wrong. I don't think. Fortean Barber, good morning, sir. Says, Queen Elizabeth class is 932 feet and a Gerald R. Ford class is 1106 feet. So not genuinely much in it when they put next to each other. The rise of Restore in the new polls is amazing. We will win. Right, lovely. Well, one thing I'll say about maybe the exact length. I'm surprised there's that much, it's as close as that. But I have seen them literally next to each other. And it does dwarf it. The American ones do dwarf it. They're higher in the water. They're longer. They're much wider. It's just a much bigger ship. But I'm surprised it's as little as... Well, 200 odd feet, though. Knocking 200 feet longer. But still, the point you make, it's not as much as I thought. But you can see them alongside each other. And much bigger. But anyway, restoring the polls. Yeah, restoring the polling at about 8%, I saw yesterday. That's what one poll said anyway. Take it or leave it. It's only one poll, but... Yeah, 8%. Nice. That means it's broken through that sort of 2, 3%. Busted through that 2, 3% win ceiling. A lot of parties, most parties, small parties, struggle to get 1, 2, 3%. But once you do, once you get 5, 6%, whatever, then you can grow and build on that. So to already be at 8% bodes well, because it's still sort of brand new, isn't it? Effectively, almost, very nearly, brand new. 120,000 members, by some metrics, the fastest growing political party of all time, in Britain at least. Getting the ground game off the ground, the ground game off the ground, starting to happen. I don't think this thing will implode in a few weeks. I think it's worth more than 150 votes at the ballot box. Okay. Yes, we will win. Aim high, vote low, millions must go from Zoomers to Boomers. Rick TWGP says, it's more likely to turn into a Gallipoli or Operation Market Garden than it is any of the Pacific landings, mate. I don't know why you'd say that. It may or may not do. May or may not do. I mean, many of the Pacific landings were disasters. So, yeah, it may or may not. I mean, I don't know why you would say that particularly. I mean, not that I'm saying you're definitely wrong to say that, but I don't know why you'd err on the side of pessimism. Okay, fair enough. If that's how you feel, if that's what you think. Again, you may be proven correct. We'll see. Okay, St. Luke. Luke Street 91. Luke Stewart says, "G'day, Bo. This whole issue with Iran is like a mate who had a lump in his side, didn't bother getting it checked, and ended up with a harder stage 3 instead of dealing with stage 1. Right. Are you saying that Iran should have been confronted years ago? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're saying? That's what I gathered from what you're saying there. Your overall meta point could be taken a number of different ways with what you've written there, but I think that's what you're saying. And I suppose you're right. But then preemptive wars are always difficult to sell to the public, aren't they? Like the other side hasn't essentially done anything in the immediate, and you say, when we're just attacking, you know, it's like... But perhaps you're right. I mean, you probably are right. probably Iran would have been... I mean, would it have been best... I heard someone else say this, I think even on one of my Super Chats a few days ago, a week ago. Would have been best to go to war, full-blown regime war, full-blown land invasion with Iran in 1979. America could have tried to rescue all the people from their embassy in Tehran in 1979 or 1980. Jimmy Carter was never going to do something like that, was he? Never. Even Reagan, who wasn't scared of pulling the trigger on stuff, even he wasn't prepared to do that. So, and now here we are. All right. I mean, fair enough. We got the YouTube Super Chats. Harry, you'll have to do that for me. Okay, there they are. All right, let's scroll up. What have we got? Global Church in History in at number one. Still at number one. You say, today in 196 BC, Ptolemy V erects the Rosetta Stone. Interesting, the Rosetta Stone in the British Museum. Seen it with my own two eyeballs hundreds of times. Must be dozens of times. Maybe 100. It's right there in the middle of the Egyptian gallery. I think it might be a replica, though, and the real one is down in a vault somewhere because it's just too valuable. It's absolutely priceless. Not sure about that. I think I've heard that said. I'm not sure if that's true. Anyway, the Rosetta Stone. For anyone who doesn't know, a tablet that was found by a Frenchman, Champollion, when Napoleon invaded Egypt, one of his archaeologists found a tablet and it had the same bit of writing copied out three times, same like decree, which says stuff like, I, Ptolemy V, decree the XYZ, da 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 da. And it's written in, what is it? It's written in Greek, some other language, Aramaic or something, I can't remember the other language, and Egyptian hieroglyphs. And we already know ancient Greek. We can already read ancient Greek. We worked out very quickly, almost immediately, that it's the same bit of text. So it's like, oh, we can read that ancient Greek. Now we can read the hieroglyphs? Because until that point, no one could read hieroglyphs. It was entirely lost. Loads of people tried to decipher hieroglyphs and couldn't. It was too complicated. The knowledge of it was lost. We didn't even really understand if it was sort of phonetic or whether it was pictorial glyphs. Or we didn't get it. No one could read hieroglyphs. Then after that, the Rosetta Stone. It's like, oh, we can begin to read hieroglyphs. And once you've got the thread of things like this, once you've got a fair few bits to start on and go on, and then geniuses, linguistic geniuses, can work it all out. Brilliant, fascinating. The story of Champollion and the Rosetta Stone. Brilliant. Okay, and global church history tells us that it was on this day that Ptolemy V, a couple hundred years before Christ, had the thing erected in the first place. Interesting, cool, okay. Dem Tatties says, will anyone from Lotus be attending Chesterfield Restore meeting next week? Oh, I don't know, I couldn't tell you. I don't know if I'll be able to. I wouldn't mind to. I would like to. But not as far as I'm aware. Chesterfield. Where's Chesterfield? I know where Chester is. Is Chesterfield a completely different place? I'm not even sure exactly where Chesterfield is, I'm afraid. If I can, I'll try and make it. There's been a number of places nearby. Maybe go to the Hereford one. And one right down south. And then there'll be ones in Swindon. I don't know, I'm afraid, mate. But if we can, if someone can, we will, but we'll see. All right. Principled Uncertainty says, Trump, you have 48 hours. So like Trump saying, you have 48 hours. And then Principled Uncertainty says, then declares unilateral 5-day ceasefire. Now he finds another 10 days. What a great negotiator. The art of the deal, folks. I think Principled Uncertainty is being sarcastic there. Yeah. I mean, yeah. All right. Two reasonably big ones in a row from the same person. Brendan Lucas, 9732. Thanks for the money there. three in a row for a half decent amount. You first say, Trump has a point. The UK carriers are actually quite comp in length. The UK carriers are actually quite comparable in length to a Ford, but also two-thirds of the displacement. Right, so two-thirds of their displacement, so significantly smaller. The crucial aspect is the lack of catapults and the woeful speed would put American escorts in danger. Yeah, I mean, fair points, all fair points. Yeah, all fair points. The American aircraft carriers are a bit bigger and more sophisticated, able to do more in every sense, really. Just the amount of fast jets you can get off and on of the runway on it, the deck on it, which is the whole point of a carrier. How many aeroplanes can you launch off of it? How quickly? That's the whole point of it. And the American ones are just so much better at it. Because even if you're only one-third bigger, or you're only 200 foot longer, you're only like 50 foot or 100 foot wider, that's massive. That's a massive difference. A whole world of difference. So you're quite right there, Brandon Lucas. And the second one you said, the lack of catapults means, crucially, F-35 combat range is small, and their loadout is dire. Meaning that the Queen Elizabeth class carrier, i.e. the British ones, would actually struggle against Charles de Gaulle, a French fleet carrier half its size. Maybe, yeah, I mean, maybe. You seem to absolutely know your stuff there, and you're not saying anything there that jumps out as me is wrong. Yeah. Nothing you said there, I'm like, don't think that's right, I think you've confused, I think you've misunderstood something. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Still, one thing I would say, very few countries in the whole world have got any aircraft carriers. Even to have two relatively cruddy ones still puts you in, what, the top 10? Certainly the top 15 countries in the whole world. Well, is there only, I don't even know, but I think it's something like 10 or 15 countries in the whole world have got an aircraft carrier, and most of those is some crappy ex-Soviet one or something. It's some really old French one from the 70s or something. Or an old American one. Like Brazil's got one or two. And they're really old. They didn't build them themselves or anything. They're like really old. Anyway. Even to have a pretty small subpar carrier is still... Right. Doesn't compete with the United States. Nothing competes with the United States Navy. I don't know why we're trying... Or anyone. Even Trump. Why would you compare the British Navy to the US Navy? No one. Nothing compares to the US Navy. Nothing comes close. I bet if you got all the world's navies, everyone in the whole world, versus the US Navy, some giant naval engagement, the US Navy would win that. I would have thought. Well, it would. So, yeah. The British Navy doesn't measure up to the US Navy. Yeah. Pardon me. All right. Zajutes 149. Thanks, buddy. You do super chats most day. Thank you for that. You've said, imagine if the Tories had started building nuclear plants in 2010. Yeah, it would have been nice, wouldn't it? How can a party be relevant if they can't plan longer than 5 years into the future? Very good question. Yeah. But yeah. Because David Cameron, Teflon Dave, he wasn't a great statesman or a politician or a visionary in any way. He liked to think of himself as he was, but he wasn't. He miscalculated Brexit, didn't he, from his point of view. He's like a TV advert man. That's what David Cameron was, really. Not a visionary. He didn't have a great vision for Britain in any way, did he? And of course, Boris, the likes of Boris and Theresa May, Rishi Sunak, they were looking to undermine and destroy our country, if anything, not do great things with a long-term plan. Okay, LJMV says, In a world full of fake conservatives, Trump, Farage, kosher stooges, your words, and gay race communists, Starmer, Macron, etc., be like low. Yeah, just be a normal, just be a proper nativist, patriot, normal English person, nationalist. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Have an in-group preference, which is your own people. Is that too much to ask? Oh, it's racist. Oh no, I'm going to clutch my pearls. Racism. No, it's called being normal. It's called not being suicidal. To have an out-group preference for people that despise you, want to annihilate you. That's mad. Okay. Be a far-right fantasist to have any other sort of view, though, wouldn't it? Okay. King Philip, 1861, says, how many modern Americans would have been loyalists during the Revolution? I don't know. Loyalist meaning loyal to the mother country, England. I don't know. During the Revolution, it was quite, at the beginning anyway, it was truly split. A lot of people in the 13 colonies, as it were, considered themselves loyalists. I mean, a lot of people that became founding fathers right up until the conflict started considered themselves loyalists. Loads of them. So who knows? Interesting question, though. Interesting history question that a history nerd can sit down the pub and chat about for all evening. Another half-decent amount of money from Brandon Lucas says, the reason the Americans somewhat act like an abusive partner around the UK carriers, and then this is in quotes saying, I want you, but you are ugly and no one will have you. An abusive partner, yeah. It's because they're quite big on camera and are very useful diplomatic assets. Interesting, fair point. All right, a fair few to get through. I'll just quickly whip through a few, I'm afraid. I've got two today. I'm on the podcast today, by the way. The main podcast of Low Seaters, 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So you'll see me again today if you watch that, if you tune in for that. Shug Scotland said, start digging for coal, oil and gas again, rule Britannia. Yeah. In both Britain, I would totally allow them to do oil rigs offshore in the North Sea as much as you want. Go for your life. Yeah, get it done. Build some, you know, 2, 3, 4, half a dozen nuclear power stations. Yeah, start that. Of course, why not? Open up coal-fired stuff. Yeah, do that, fine. Yeah, go for your life. Yeah, produce loads more jobs in Wales again. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I don't buy the man-made CO2 thing is driving climate change and going to bring about a catastrophic rise in sea levels. I don't believe that's true. So yeah, use coal again and drill, baby, drill. And nuclear, whatever we need. Yeah, all the climate people. I'll pass a bit of legislation where no more oil type protester people get very, very, very severe custodial sentences. Little idiots. Don't know what they're doing or talking about. Just performative nonsense. Lock them up. Damaging real things of real value. Or damaging the Magna Carta or Stonehenge or whatever. Running onto the track, a Formula One track, while there's race cars going round. Jumping on a snooker table in the middle of a snooker tournament. They're mental. Mental. Lock them up. That's what I say. Okay. Krish281 says, you can see the narrative they are spinning. The reason the UK economy is a mess is not because of decades of mismanagement by our political class. It's because of evil Trumpler and Pootler. Yeah, you can see it, yeah. It's not us, guys. It's external threats. Yeah, no, you've mismanaged this country insanely, both Labour and Tory. Okay, Principal Dunsurtis says, Bo, have you seen, have you heard? Two men arrested for ambulance gate. I did see a headline just yesterday. Yeah, I didn't read the details. But, yeah. Two men arrested for ambulance gate. But all they said was that they are British. Narrative most effective. Affected. Yeah, I wonder if they are the guys, if they prove to be the guys that did it. I wonder who they are and what their motivation was. Okay, breaking story, I guess. Maybe, quite possibly, bring you an update on that on Monday, I suppose. Maybe, probably. Okay, someone here called GWFF the Cock says, in the morning, Bo, what's your tea bag of choice? Oh, well, even though Yorkshire Tea as a company are woke. Don't mind Yorkshire Tea, don't mind PG Tips. What's the other one? There's a few different types of Yorkshire Tea, aren't there? Don't mind Tetley's. The normal teas. I like normal teas. I don't like anything weird, herbal, fruity. I just like normal, straight up normal working class cup of tea. That's all I want. Actually, at the moment, there's in the office, we've got some... The most I'll go outside the window of normality is there's some tea that's like a malted... You might have seen... I think it's Yorkshire tea still, but it's a malted biscuit-flavoured tea. It tastes pretty much like normal tea. But that's what's in the office kitchen at the moment. And it's quite nice. I think that's what that was. But I just like normal tea. Nothing special. Breakfast tea. I don't really drink green tea or any sort of herbal tea or anything like that. So there you go. Okay. There's still a few more to get through. Mr. Dicky Bingo, not Dinky Bingo, Mr. Dicky Bingo says, I see you on the 11th, bud. Cheers. Yeah, cool. Approach me and say hello. Yeah, it'd be nice to meet you. The 11th is the Lotus Eaters live show. The 11th of April in Swindon. You'd have to travel to Swindon. Bit of an ask, I know. But no, do it. Buy a ticket. I don't think it's sold out yet. I believe I have nothing to do with this side of things. But I believe the sales are going very well, but isn't entirely sold out yet. That might be wrong. We might have sold out. I'm not sure. So, if you want to do that, if you're prepared to come to Wiltshire... On the 11th, April the 11th, on the evening of April 11th, everyone will be there, all the presenters. We're going to do basically a live podcast, some other discussion about something else in the middle, and then basically like a Lads Hour thing where the questions of in Lads Hour are the ones that you guys have sent in, texted in or emailed in or something. So like 3 hours odd of the show, something like that. And if you want to pay more for a VIP ticket, there's some sort of VIP area or bar or something. I don't know. I really don't know, but something like that, apparently. And then you can go in there and have a drink with the presenters and stuff. I don't know. Go on the website and have a look, see what it's all about. All right. LJNV again says, Bo, you magnificent man. Not drinking tonight due to the man flu. I'm sorry to hear that. Flu sucks. Here's my support for you, the Super Chat. Thank you very much. P.S. Playing Ace 4. Go Japanese or Mongols. I don't know Ace 4. Oh. AOE 4, sorry. AOE 4. I don't know what this, sorry. I know Civ 4. Sid Meier's Civilization 4. I don't know what AOE 4 is. Harry, do you know what AOE, what that is?
I do not, but I'm searching it.
Okay. Okay. Enjoy yourself, though, buddy. Get well soon, if you can. Plenty of fluids.
Keep yourself hydrated.
It's what? Sorry, say again?
It's Age of Empires.
Oh, Age of Empires. Right. Oh, okay. Age of Empires. That's fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, enjoy. Get rest. Keep hydrated. Okay, Azzy0161 says, just wanted to say thanks for all your work on Epochs. Oh no, cheers. Epochs fans. the very, very best among us Epochs fans. Hundreds of hours of content behind that paywall. Hundreds and hundreds of hours. It's like over 250 episodes. Everything from the Sumerians, from Göbekli Tepe, through to, what, like Vietnam stuff. Tons and tons of history. Thank you. Thank you for saying thank you for my work on Epochs. I love listening to them when walking my dog. Have a good weekend, mate. You too. You too. It's always very flattering when people say stuff like that. Very, very flattering. Okay, last couple. Sheep Are Awesome says, we cannot wait for politicians... Oh, I think you said this, the exact same thing yesterday. We cannot wait for politicians to save us. Everyone is mixing in every single day. By then, we won't be European anymore. Demographics are destiny. Yeah, and then a thing that I unfortunately I can't read out because YouTube terms and conditions would consider it too spicy. But between you and me, you're not wrong. You finish it by saying, okay. Thanks for sending that in, though. Oh, and the very last one, Global Church History, rounding it out, says, real BBC is big enough to get fed saying, rise up. Bo's Breakfast Club. Hashtag the real BBC. Yeah, okay, all right. That's the show. Thank you for joining me, my band of brothers and sisters. Glorious band. The chosen few. Thanks for joining me. It means the world. It means everything. Without you, it isn't a thing. It's now 21 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Friday, the 27th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. I hope you enjoy the weekend. Try and do something valuable with your time, if you've got any free time. Carpe diem. Seize those days. Seize them by the lapels and do something valuable with your time. It's the most valuable thing you've got is your time. Try and make it count. Okay, enjoy the weekend. Until Monday morning, take care.